2 days, Shir of Mishnah Berurah Yomi, the Siman Taf Samazayin Sif Hey. Now, generally speaking, grain that is still attached to the ground cannot become chametz even upon coming in contact with water. In this sif, the Shulchan Aruch gives an exception to that rule. Dugan Shem Mechubar Shnesiavish the Gamrei the Einot Tzarich the Inika Manda Manach Bekeda Dami Umakabel Chimutz Im Yardu Alav Yishamim. Grain that is still attached to the ground, which has dried completely and does not need nourishment from the soil, is considered as if it is detached and sitting in a container, and can become chametz if rain falls on it. Sif Katan Yud Zayin Shnesiavish Le Gamrei. So this is grain. Again, that's still attached to the ground, but it has dried completely, doesn't need any nourishment from the soil. It's still considered as if it is detached and sitting in a container and can become chametz if rain falls on it. Sifkatan yedzayin, shenisyavish legamrei, kasavachai adam, demitam zen noagim ha-charedim. Based on this, the God-fearing people were noyeg, sheyukola matzah shalom mishumarim b'shas tzira. This is why God-fearing people are accustomed to having all of their matzahs undergo shmira from becoming chametz from the time of ktsira, from the time of harvesting. Because with regular matzahs, sometimes the wheat is allowed to dry while still attached to the ground for too long, because they did not have time to harvest it. And the wheat used for matzah, known as shmura, that's harvested while it is still slightly moist. So see the Chai Adam over there, Ayin Sham, Sif Katan Yud Ches, Im Yardu Alav Shamim, if rain falls on it, Hainu Gishamim Rubin, that is a lot of rain, Aval Al Yedei Zlifa Mu'etes, She Yered Al Shibolim, Lo Chai Shidin Mutter Afilu L'matzah Mitzvah. He says, however, we're not concerned about a small drizzling of rain onto the ears of grain, and they are permitted even for matzahs mitzvah. This is the Maimon Mordechai b'shem Rabbeinu Manoach. V'ayim b'shari tshuva shekazah b'shem tshuvas mil tzedakah. He says, check out the Shari Tshuva, what he writes in the name of the tshuvas mil tzedakah. The Shari Tshuva quotes the mil tzedakah, who writes that rain would cause attached grain to become usser only if it is so strong that it knocks the grain to the ground and continues to pour down on it for a significant period of time. Sif vav chidush mitzvah behem mevukos osan she'ein mevukos mutaros. So in this sif, the Shulchan Aruch is going to address the case of a batch of wheat in which some kernels were discovered to be cracked, which is a sign of becoming chametz. And the issue is going to be whether this forces us to assume that all of the wheat had come in contact with water, in which case it should be treated as chametz despite the lack of any such external indication. So again here, regarding wheat kernels, some of which were found to be cracked. Those which are not cracked are permitted. Why? This is because it is very commonplace during the rainy season that the top layer of the stack, as well as its bottom layer, to become chametz, to become chametz and crack. While the water does not touch the middle of it at all. Sif katan yud test. Osan she'emu vokos v'chulei. V'mikomakom tzrichin levarer mehen ha'mevukos. Oshial kol panim shishim negdam. He says, nevertheless, you have to remove the cracked ones or ensure there's a ratio of at least shishim against them in the uncracked wheat. The idea here is that the cracked wheat grains are considered to be chametz, although we have never actually seen that they came into contact with water. The fact that they are cracked is itself a clear indication of such exposure, and we do not say that they may have become cracked from the natural juices of the grain itself, since that's unusual. And at the end of the day, we could assume, okay, if we remove the cracked ones, that there's going to be shishim against them in the uncracked wheat. That meaning that by removing some of the cracked kernels, we'll be in good shape. Now, once the mixture contains a ratio of shishim against the cracked grain, so it's going to be mutter to grind the entire mixture before Pesach, sif katan chaf, muteres, bedavka kishein and lachos. This applies only if they are not moist. Then it's going to be mutter. The kernels which have not cracked are presumed to have come from the middle of the stack, where they very possibly not come into contact with water, and they're going to therefore be permitted. And any kernels which are moist have clearly come into contact with water, and they have become chametz. And additionally, if the kernels became wet during storage, the entire batch of grain, again, this is during storage, not while still in the stack, the entire batch of grain becomes usur to eat, according to what we saw in the Ramah the other day in Sif Beis. Sif Zayin, Yisrael sheyesh lo boros maleim chitim v'choshesh shema yesh v'karkoyes habor v'kiroso chitim v'vukayim milachos habor v'haaretz. If a Jew owns pits full of wheat and is concerned that there may be on the floor of the pit and along its walls wheat that is cracked due to the moisture of the pit of and the earth, right? Shema yesh v'karkoyes habor v'kiroso chitim v'vukayim milachos habor v'haaretz. The bittul bialma sagi. All one has to do in this such a case is do bittul. Bittul will work here. And here we see the Shulchan Aruch discussing whether a person is obligated to search and do bedikah for chametz in a pit full of wheat kernels that are concerned that some of the kernels may have become chametz due to the pit's moisture. And he says here that bittul, without bedikah, is going to suffice. Sif katan chav aleph. This is similar to the case of chametz upon which rubble has fallen. We know that if chametz becomes buried underneath a heap of rubble, which is at least 3 tefachim deep, it's not necessary to access and eradicate the chametz. Rather, it's sufficient to perform bittul. We saw this earlier in Taf Lam Gimel, Sif Ches. Similarly, even if some wheat kernels at the bottom of the pit have become chametz, they're buried and considered buried by the non-chametz kernels on top, and one is therefore not obligated to eradicate the chametz kernels. Now, it should be pointed out that this sif is referring to a situation where at the time that one filled the pit, there was no chametz in the floor of the pit. There's simply just a possibility that the kernels in the pit may have become chametz. Regarding a situation which there was already chametz in the pit when it was filled, so you got to go back there to Taf Lamed Vav, check out the Mishnah Berurah there, Sif Katan Tes Zion. And we continue on weiter here. So he says, V'od, Sveik Sveika. Besides the fact that we view it like Chamech Nefalav Mapoles, back to the Mishnah Berurah, it's a Sveik Sveika. Shema lo nischamtsu, v'imtim tiloma nischamtsu, shema nisavshu. You have a Sveik Sveika, the kernels may not have become Chametz, and even if they did become Chametz, they may have rotted. And that is, they may have rotted to the extent that they are no longer fit for even a Kelev's consumption, and thus do not require eradication. Adkan.